Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I just heard a guy overnight, literally just overnight, said the Dolphins could be the one team that doesn't win a game. And I go, okay, there you go. There's your one game when you play like that, and that's some of the stuff you get. We do have a big Hard Rock Stadium weekend here with the Canes and USF. Just heard Woody talking about Woody in Monroe County, kicking it off in the pregame show, and a big game. I know what's behind this game. I do. Trust me, I do. I have members, family members that went to both schools, Florida and Florida State. I understand it. God, I spent a lot of money at both those schools. I should be getting something out of that. I don't donate any extra money, though. But besides that, and then the Miami Dolphins home opener on Sunday as they try to bounce back after, yes, a very, very embarrassing loss to the Colts. Pat, a players-only meeting. So I always love that because that's good for at least two former teammates to call me on a players-only meeting. Jordan Brooks came out and said, and by the way, Jordan Brooks is the one guy that everybody should listen to because he plays his ass off. He's really good. He is a physical player, and he is one of the leaders of this team. Talk about a guy that's kind of moved up the ladder over from the year he had last year. Was a really good year. Zach Seeler, obviously, and Woody and I were talking last night. If you're to have a players-only meeting, who needs to give that? Well, I'm going to be a little harsh today and a little tough on some guys and compliment some guys, I think. I'm just watching from right next door, as I like to say, doing the games and with the team on the weekends. Jordan Brooks and Zach Seeler should be the guys that have been here standing up and going, hey, it's about just getting locked back in, let it go, let that game go. Hey, man, and what'd you do wrong? What can you do better? What? Just look at yourself. We don't need any we. I'm not a big we need to do this. I'm all about every guy just talking about himself. Like, hey man, I got to get better. I got to make throws. I know a lot of guys had problems. I got to worry about playing better for myself. And then the bigger question we had good teams and we had players only meetings. We had some times I don't remember exactly, but we lost back-to-back games, and we had our times where we looked really bad. And, and the guy, the head coach didn't let up. And sometimes some of our best players would say, hey, man, we're going to have a meeting and talk a little bit about getting it back together. Our teams are very close, but getting it back together, I don't know how much they work. Listen, man, I don't. I can't remember. I can't sit here today and tell you, hey, man, players-only meetings, boy, you have a couple of those, and you're like a new man. It's like if you're Catholic going to confession, man, you just walk out and you feel sin-free for a couple of days or a couple of hours. But, yeah, man, I don't know how much they work because we heard about how great the chemistry and the culture is on the team, and they go out and play one of the worst games we've ever seen for an opener in the history of the franchise. So I don't want to say that. It's a separate deal. But now it gets into whether it's freelancing, and you heard Anthony Weaver say, well, Bradley Chubb might have got a little carried away about his comments. I didn't think they were that bad. It's just one guy wasn't getting it, and the other 10 were doing the right thing, and all those things. Listen, all that really matters, and this late in the week, and they have coaches talking and the coordinators talking, all that really matters, man, is you clean it up and you play better. That's all. That's all. The media want, that's all your fan base wants. Go out and win the game. Play better and win the game. I have another one, though, too, that I was thinking about last night with the changes. And, excuse me, we'll get into some of the changes, including the right side of your offensive line. Two guys, Keon Smith and Larry Borum, will be playing most likely next to each other. And, hey, you don't want to do that after one game and all of a sudden you've got half of your offensive line. But honestly, we're kind of used to it because we've had this happen for the last 20 years. We've had a bunch of guys in and out, mostly injury, but some poor play in there as well. You know, when something starts to go against you, I was just thinking back, and I had this to kind of fall back on. Our defense would get a big takeaway. You know, when our offense was struggling, they get a big takeaway, and all of a sudden we play on a short field. Or there'd be a certain time somebody's marching down and we get a big sack and knock them out of field goal range or a deep field goal range and they'd miss. Just something to kind of flip the game. Just kind of flip the game. A huge catch on third down, third and 17. And somebody jump up and make a great catch or just a big play that all of a sudden a one play 60 yards, which we haven't seen those in a while. But just a play to just kind of flip Mo, as we used to call it, flipping Mo. And we didn't get any of those. It was just like we're getting our ass kicked on both sides. And I don't want to say we just kind of were deer in headlights or we quit. But, like, nobody ever made a play. Nobody ever made a game-changing play. Even when you were in set in a perfect situation, whether it was a punt, you're going to get a stop, something happened. And it's loser football, no question. You got to find some guys to step up. I don't care if it's a rookie free agent. Well, we don't have any rookie free agents. A draft pick to a veteran player, whether he's the highest paid or lowest paid, if he's playing, just somebody, just make a play to kind of get the team going. You know, it was one thing that nobody talked about, and it just dogpiled out of control. It just more and more guys were jumping on the dogpile, and you were down at the bottom and you couldn't breathe. And we got to get some guys stand up when things go against you, especially on the road. And they got it going, and it's loud, and it's indoors. We knew it was going to be loud, and some guys, I heard that, saying they didn't get communication was harder. Well, I got to tell you, man, when you play on the road in most cities, it's going to get friggin' loud. It's going to get real loud. And you got to flip Mo, man. You got to flip Mo. And if you can't, and, you know, tackle, huge tackles, takeaways, great catches, great throws. We just didn't get any of it. It was just. So getting back to the players only meeting, they've been around forever. And again, even the really good teams start to feel like they're not playing great. And coaches sitting there beating on you or not saying anything. We had a guy that was, every guy was accountable. And I think sometimes the vets felt like guys were getting beat up and maybe getting down a little bit from just getting it verbally just slapped around pretty good, that some of those guys come in and go, hey, man, listen, it's our team. You know, we knew it was Hughes' team, but it was our team. We were playing. And, hey, man, loosen up. Let's get back. Let's get guys making plays and going that. And I think that's what Jordan Brooks tried to do. Hey, man, it was just, hey, let's lock back in. Lock back in. These little things, whatever we said and the coaches have said. Honestly, the comments outside of our head coach, you know, they made it sound like small things, and that's what coaches do. That's their job. They're not jobs. This not 1970 where you beat the hell out of every guy and tell the world that we're not very good. And we, you know, everybody knew they played a bad game. And, you know, it's got to get a lot better. And we got a right guard, a right tackle, cornerback, and a nose tackle, probably going by the fact they didn't practice the last couple of days. They're going to be out. They're not going to play. And that's going to go on all around the league. Don't say poor Dolphins. I see some guys got knocked out last night. And by the way, the Packers just look out of this world good right now. You know, everybody thought they were really good. And listen, you study the roster, you see what they get, you see what they've added. And then they get maybe the best player in the NFL from the Cowboys. And everybody's debating, did they give up too much? Did they not get enough and all that stuff? Listen, having that guy out there, you know, when you talk about a guy having a half a sack and that's it on the stat sheet, and then you see the pressures and that guy running around, and he just, he's not a guy that has to have 100 tackles and 12 sacks. And, you know, he can shake a game up, man. That guy can shake it up. He just plays and runs, even when you've blocked him. I never seen a guy get blocked, and he does get blocked. There's a lot of guys better in this league at using their hands and getting off it and, you know, and having a clean path to the quarterback. But his stop and then go again is out of this world fast physically. Just crazy to watch. But they look as good as they were, and Jordan Love had a nice game. He missed a couple, but ended up with almost 300 yards in their defense. They just look to be, after week one, I don't like to get carried away. Week two now.
And do it on Overreaction Friday. Tell me the best team in the league.
Huh?
Overreaction Friday.
No, tell because everybody's saying it.
They have the two best wins.
They have
they played two very tough teams.
They did.
They made them look real bad.
They did. They made both of them going back now and going, wow, especially the Lions going, man, we got a lot of guys back.
I've watched them play both of their games. That Parsons trade might be the dumbest trade I've ever seen, Joe.
Yeah. Well,
and is that guy, I mean, it's unbelievable.
The
difference it makes with him out there.
He is and people going, well, he's not good against the run. He's not there to be good against the run. He's good to make sure whenever there's a passing situation that he gets there to help out cornerbacks who have to cover guys and thinking more about where he is and throwing the football down the field and looking over to see who's blocking him and are we doubling him?
He's got guys ripping him down by the neck and stuff. They can't stay with him.
No, he's
unbelievable.
He is physically, and again, there's some really good pass rusher, but physically he is something. All right, early in the season, and we're talking most of the teams haven't played their second game since that was the first game of the week of week two last night, but Packers off to a great start. I'm not ready to put them in a Super Bowl. Like, I'm not ready to say, like this guy that came on earlier said the Dolphins could lose every game. Anyway,
You overnight on that one, huh? Pat Boyle said that?
No, Pat Boyle's guy with him said, breaking down the games.
The guy who does the picks.
And I was like, oh my God, that's why maybe you're working overnight. That's might be.
Wow, drinking really?
A little bit. Oh, come on, man.
Maybe he watched the opener.
Great.
I mean, it's not that outrageous.
That's not that outrageous.
They will win a game.
Okay, but you want to go that? You know, no. He just said no win.
From a guy who doesn't work down here in our market, he probably watched the opening game. He's probably heard about all the dysfunction that's gone on.
Listen to you. You just go.
I'm trying to defend the poor guy.
No, jeez.
You're taking shots at him.
Taking shots. The guys decide after one game, you got a chance you're not going to win a game.
I'm just saying, I understand from a national standpoint, I understand where he's coming from.
Okay. You like that take is what you're telling me.
Ask Florio what he thinks. Florio dumped him all the way last.
Doesn't matter about where you are in power rankings. Like, the worst teams in football won four games last year.
It's true.
I mean, you're sitting here like, okay, now we're going to, you know, and you're trying to mess up my Hard Rock Stadium doubleheader weekend is what you're really trying to do. No, you are. You are.
I'm trying to defend the guy a little bit. Like, I understand where, like, from a national standpoint, he's coming from. He doesn't live in our market.
Doesn't matter what market you live in. You can look at the names and go, okay, they're going to grab somebody. Look at their schedule. Like, you could do all that stuff. Now, all of a sudden, all the bad teams are world beaters. Well, we're going to find out this week because we got the Patriots coming to town. Hey, by the way, got a lot of good stories, though. And heard the Anthony Weaver talking about it. Play those rookies, man. Play them more and more and more. If we're going to look like that, man, play the young dudes, man. Play the young guys. By the way, we've got a story for it coming back. This got to be a record amount of guys for the amount of snaps in week one, and there's going to be a hell of a lot more in week two. We'll tell you more about that when we come back. A lot more stuff to get to here this morning as we continue on, including you think college football's screwed up? You think pro football can frustrate you? Wait until we tell you about high school football and what's going on. We'll have that for you when we come back. First, though, I want to tell you about Atlantic Men's Clinic this morning. ED, low T, whatever you're going through, man, I like to talk to guys on a Friday because you're getting ready for a weekend. And if you've recently or you've known for a while, you just seem really tired on the weekends where you're going, man, I can't wait to get Saturday and Sunday to get off. I just want to sleep in and get some rest and do nothing. I don't know about you, but I'm getting older. My ass wants to do as much as I can. The last thing I want to do is sit around and do nothing. You know, watch some games, of course. But, hey, man, when it comes to Atlantic Men's Clinic, it happens to every man out there. Doesn't matter your color, your size, your weight. Low T and ED are going to kick in on every guy. It's undefeated. Low T and ED are undefeated. Sooner or later, it happens. Some guys in their 40s, some guys in their 50s, some guys and most guys into their 60s get it, and that's what hit me, man. And I thought, I didn't even know about this. I swear, I knew about low T, but I didn't know it could affect you the way it did. And then I had full-blown low T and ED. I called Atlantic Men's Clinic, heard about those guys through the radio station, went down there, set up that first appointment, got the T, the PSA test, got everything done, met with their professionals, put me on a plan, explained everything to me. I asked a zillion questions and started going to plantation location. It's sneaking up on, you know, 14, 15 months now. I got to tell you, I just feel so much better. And anybody that's on a program, when you do it right, will tell you, if you do it right, you do it the right way, you have somebody police your program to make sure you're getting great results, like Atlantic Men's Clinic, you're in for a home run. I just want you to get more out of life. And if you just want to be tired, lazy, and moody the rest of your life, and all of a sudden the bedroom is just, you might as well just go sleep by yourself in another room, then don't call Atlantic Men's Clinic. But if you're ready to make a change, man, you're in for great results. It'll happen fast. 7 locations in South Florida to serve you. 877-455-7300 or visit AtlanticMen'sClinic.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
40 run attempts. It's just a lopsided game. And so when you're playing that type of football, you can't get to the pass rush. And when you can't get to the pass rush, you can't get opportunities to get interceptions and play that type of game when you're playing from behind. So week one, you know, everybody saw it. Like I said, 40 run attempts, you're not going to get to play the style of defense that you want to play. And so that's what that was. Just stay locked in. Losing the way we did week one, it can be discouraging, you know. Outside noise, people talking, fans talking, family talking, whoever, everybody talking. But just kind of making sure that everybody's, like, together. When you lose like that, it's easy for people to get discouraged and, you know, start looking and questioning maybe yourself or others. So making sure that we all lock back in and making sure that the belief is still there. You lose belief, you don't have nothing. And so making sure that everybody's still on the same page and come back next week stronger.
All right, that was Jordan Brooks, linebacker for the Miami Dolphins, who had a lot of tackles in game one, talking about staying locked in, and said, hey, man, one thing about it, there's nobody on that team that could say, you know, everybody out there has gone a little too far. We weren't that bad. You're not hearing that. It was that bad. It was. And it had a sting to it. Heard Bo yesterday on with us, and he was still down. I think as you get older, it just takes a little longer when you're connected. So Big Bo not ready to let it go yet. So anyway, we have a lot of other stuff to get to here and this morning. So I want to bring up something that you may or may not care about. I know high school football for a lot of people is not a big deal, right? Some of you have said through the years, hey, you know, I really don't like it. I wish you wouldn't do it. I don't care about it. Give me the other stuff. We got Canes and USF, and we'll be getting into that a lot this morning. But high school football has changed the rules. One of the first states to allow you basically to transfer to any school you want to go to. Hell, it makes college football look small time now, the amount of times you can transfer in high school. If you're not happy, you can transfer. So it used to be at the end of a semester, you could transfer. At the end of the year, in the off summer, you could transfer and go to a different school. So that's been going on. Now there are officially no rules. You can transfer anywhere. We got a lot of players that don't even live in South Florida, have moved down here just to play the high school football because it's really good high school football. And it's got a lot of really good players and you play against really good competition. And the whole college football world comes down here to recruit everybody. Something happened yesterday, and I it's out there, so I'm not breaking it. I did hear about it yesterday, and I was waiting to see if it was going to be out there, but usually when it comes from good high schools, the stuff leaks out pretty quickly. Florida high school football player can now transfer during the season. So somebody said, well, that's been going on. Leon Strotter, senior quarterback at Northwestern High School, I guess he had 41 touchdowns last year for Northwestern. I don't even know if he's starting or was starting. Anyway, he is transferring to American Heritage Plantation after a couple of games. He's going to transfer and play right away, going from a public to a private school. I don't know how you do it. Listen, I like Mike Smith at American Heritage Plantation. I'm guessing Dia Bell, who's a five-star quarterback, must be hurt or shutting it down, or I don't know what D is doing or how hurt he is. I know he's been getting banged up pretty good in the first few games. He's taken some big hits on his way to Texas. But this thing, and I get every guy wants to play and get more scholarships and get in the best situation, and if I'm not starting, I don't want to be a backup when I can go somewhere else and play, and so that's the situation we're in now. But at some point, I get what the players want. But at some point, doesn't somebody with a friggin' brain have to step in and go, no, you committed for this football season. Now, you gotta stay. Guy gets hurt, you're back in. You beat him out, you're back in. I think it's terrible. Look, I'm cool with the transfer portal. Took me a while, you know, growing up and play for your high school and all the high schools around us in a small town. Nobody liked anybody. Hell, you weren't even allowed to go. You dated a girl from another school and guys were PO'd and wanted to fight you. And it was all these small towns. And no one. There was bad blood in every small town, like everyone. You would never leave your school. You couldn't back then. And now these guys are jumping schools during the season. So good for American Heritage Plantation. I don't know if he's going to play. I think the team left yesterday because they played a night in play a powerhouse in Louisiana. But I don't get it. I don't like it. I think homeschooling's being abused. If you're going homeschooling because of your beliefs and you're set up in a structure you want, it's been homeschool kids have been around a lot of Christian kids and homeschool kids and kids that, you know, parents don't want their kids around other kids. And, you know, whether I agree or disagree, listen, man, at some point you're going to see everything in life anyway, but whatever. Everybody, different strokes for different folks. But now we got kids just homeschooling and nobody's home with them. We're giving them grades and just pushing them through. And then they show up at 3 o'clock for a practice. We are effed up, man. What are we doing? Florida High School Athletic Association is one of the most screwed up organizations we've ever had. Politicians down. You're all a bunch of jerk offs. You really are. You're truly some of the biggest clowns in the world. Like, what are we doing? Hell, we made college football look normal now. So anyway, and by the way, I find out now another quarterback is transferring to a powerhouse. They lost their quarterback, and he's transferring someplace, got the word, they got to him. And so he's going to play the next 7 or 8 games. I don't know if it's Venice High School, one of the high schools, but it's going on, man. Hey, again, I'm not trying to hold any kid back from getting a scholarship or getting a chance. But so you go from one powerhouse to the next. This one was not going to be a secret when all of a sudden Leon Strotter shows up and starts at American Heritage Plantation. That was not going to be a secret. So anyway, hey, man.
Can you imagine if that trickled into the college game?
Oh.
They started doing that midseason stuff? Oh.
I don't think they'll let that happen, but we really have no rules down here.
Well, that's the thing. Who's they?
And you Teddy.
They'll let it happen.
So the only guy that gets in trouble, speaking of Northwestern, yeah, is Teddy Bridgewater, because I'm telling you right now, if you could go to every high school, so they have this Dayton Broward thing, how many guys are going to pros. I don't even read it anymore because a lot of kids that are playing in Broward are Dade County kids. The ones that are getting drafted and playing the NFL. The other day I said, hey, man, this kid at West Broward, this Moore kid, wow, he's a freak. He's got it. There's a guy because of his size and speed and what we saw that day, Woody. Someday he's going to be a friggin' star unless, you know, the brain doesn't work up top. But if he plays with the skill set he has, you know, not every kid is given that kind of talent. And I said, hey, man, Broward got a hell of a kid. He goes, he's not a Broward kid. He's a Dade County kid. So I don't know. I guess we got to go by the high schools that they finish at now. But, yeah, so this thing, and again, I like Mike Smith. I have nothing. I have nice talks with Mike Smith. Go out there and watch some games. He wants, you know, to win games. But, man, I'm sure Mike wouldn't want to lose a guy after two games and he transferred to St. Thomas or transferred to another school.
You better make sure they're happy, right, Joe, even at 16 or 17.
Man, I got to tell you. Well, he's a senior. I believe I saw Leon Strotter's a senior. I don't know, man. It's just there's no rules. And now I find out kids are traveling as far as 30 miles away. Well, we got, first of all, guys that are from other states that are living here now. I don't know where they're living. I don't know what their situation, but it really doesn't matter. But we got guys traveling that have decided to go to better schools that are now traveling another 10, 15 miles to get 20 miles to get to those schools. And if they don't have a lot of money, how do you think they're getting there? So if they come from real poor backgrounds, most high school kids don't have their own car. Let's do the high school common sense. So if a guy's got 20 miles to get to the high school and you know he comes from something, how do you think he's getting there every day? Teddy's the only one that came out and said, I get him there. You think Teddy's the only one? You think Teddy's the only one? Now, there's a lot of schools that have money, a lot of private schools. Come on, man. Anyway, that's where we are, folks. That's where I'll get over this. Thanks for listening to me this morning. I appreciate it.
Well, it's not about
that.
Getting over it. It's the fact that it starts in high school and then it goes into the college game and then it goes into the pro game, right?
Well, I got news for you. It's all the same now, man. It's crazy out there.
The college thing's gotten bizarre. I mean, you're gonna have guys that four schools.
You've seen how many high schools here. Your game-winning kicker. He went three high schools down here. Yeah, if you ain't going to three high schools,
you're not getting the full experience.
I got to tell you something. We're going to get to a point here in the next years. A guy that goes to one high school for 4 years, we are going to see 10% of the kids, 20%.
What do you think the percent in colleges?
Stay at one school the whole time?
Yeah.
Probably going to be close to, 20%? Is that too high?
Man, here's the thing. Like, you're just South Florida this weekend. If you're at South Florida and you're good,
no, you're
not for long, right?
No, right. I mean, hey, FIU, FAU are dealing with it right now.
They hit a home run on a recruit or something, and
FAU's got a guy.
Star ends up being real good.
If a wide receiver at FIU or FAU goes for 60 catches, 900 yards, and 7 or 8 touchdowns.
Very good chance not on that roster next
year. He got some good offers. The old Power 5 or Power 4 or Power. They're waiting for him. Would you like to come play for us? We saw your tape, and you look like you can play at any level.
Or they go, oh, man, we got this guy from Ohio State or whatever. He's a former 5-star, but he just didn't work out. He's got a bad attitude or whatever. And he has one good year with you.
Right back.
Next up, who's the next big school that's up on deck here?
Right back. No, we're going to see it. Hey, we got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. Just want to make you aware of stuff. No big deal.
That is kind of a big deal, though. It's not ideal, right?
I just like
the mid-season thing is not great.
Look at, man, just whatever school you sign up for. When football season, the first day of high school football starts, practice officially starts, your ass, that's it. That's the school you need to go to until the final game. And if you don't want to play in the playoffs, which I don't know, a high school kid wouldn't want to play in the playoffs and have a chance to win the state championship. But when that last game's over, you are free to go anywhere you go if you still have high school eligibility. That's how it should be.
You okay with trades in the college game? What about like midseason trades? Deadline?
We might be right around the corner. Somebody's going to sue for that. We'll be trading players. UM just made a big trade with Clemson.
Like, here, you can have one of our backups and some cash considerations, but we're going to take this guy.
Shaking my head, Woody. Shaking my head this morning.
Who's going to stop him, Joe?
No one. Nobody's going to stop him. They're up there going, hey, we think this is good. Hey, no problem.
Who's that guy that runs the NCAA? Is he still even
Tallahassee around? Going, I don't know. That guy's
still there?
Hey, listen, if you need to get something done, you're not going to NCAA. I can tell you, you go to the Big Ten or go to the SEC, you get things done. All right. Hey, I want to tell you about Dr. Barry and his great staff. I want to tell you about Recovery Unplugged. I say this to guys all the time through the years of put guys in rehab and family members in rehab and going through highs and lows of life from drinking and drugs to just going through a real serious depression and can't get out of it. But boy, I'll tell you what, Dr. Barry and his staff who I've been with and talked to, I just know you're going to get great results. We're always talking about game changers on the field, but here's one for your mental health. Recovery Unplugged Behavioral Health has a beautiful mental health residential program in Fort Lauderdale. For 12 years, they've helped over 20,000 people heal, an expert clinical team, and their innovative treatments like this ketamine therapy for depression and anxiety and trauma. If you or someone you love needs a winning strategy to get back on the road, call 954-737-4508 or visit recoveryunplugged.com. Everyone deserves a great season in life or another shot. Recovery Unplugged, heal out loud.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How would you like the chance to have a Pro Bowl Miami football player come visit an elementary school of your choice? It could happen. It's WQAM's MVP experience with the Dolphins, Zach Sealer, and he's on board to speak at a school. Go to WQAM.com and enter an elementary school in Broward or Dade now for a chance to get a visit from Zach Sealer, where he will speak to the students and more. For contest rules, go to WQAM.com. And, Joe, at some point today, we will give away tickets to Beer Fest at Lone Depot Park tomorrow. So we got that for you as well.
What time is that game for Little Beer Fest? What time am I going to start drinking beer on that one?
Really?
Sorry about
Hang
that.
Hang on, Joe.
I'm sorry,
it's
man.
It's a 4:10 first.
All right, 4:10.
You suck.
Problem is,
hit me with these things.
Besides that,
7:10 tonight. I mean, it's in the update if you want to listen to the update.
No, by the way, just so you know, I mean, that's kind of something else going on the 4 o'clock hour tomorrow. It's kind of a big deal over at Hard Rock Stadium.
Yeah, well, good thing they have TVs over there.
South Florida. And
you just find a way to watch the CW on your
CW
your phone or whatever. You know, hey, man, headsets and listen to our broadcast.
I hope a lot of people show up. And
I don't think you have to worry about that. I think it's going to be packed.
I hope so. That should be a big crowd. I see a lot of people are going, well, I like the Canes, but I don't like the 17.5 points. They're going to hang around. So we'll see.
Well, after the Gators get mashed this weekend, this will be the last ranked team that comes in for a while. So
you make everything just
what?
I can't wait.
Did you? Oh, by the way, your overnight guy, the same guy who was like, oh, the Dolphins won't win a game, says he thinks the Gators get blown out.
Okay.
So I heard that on the way in, but
all right.
Jamie's the only one, man. He's the only one.
Everyone's piling up on the Gators.
Yeah, everybody's piling up on your team, Jamie.
All right.
Hey, I'll be honest. I want the Gators to win.
Me too.
Yeah, Canes fans should want the Gators.
I want the Gators to bounce back. I one of the coaches, not that I know any of these guys, I always start with this. very easy to dislike that head coach at LSU. He is one of the great frauds of all time.
Yes, he is.
Tried to do that voice thing for a while. And
My fan.
I thought he was from the Bayou for a while. Then he came back.
Like, what is he, from Boston or something?
I don't know. But I lived with 2 years with David Woodley, and he had it. And it was around A.J. Dewey, and he has it. And A.J. never got rid of it.
Yeah.
Those guys, they get, don't think those guys tried to go to California, play for a team, and try to talk differently. They don't leave it, man. The Bayou stays with them. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we've got a lot of stuff. I apologize about that stuff. I just want to make everybody aware of the free-for-all. The Wild West is now in the state of Florida.
California, too, apparently. We saw that.
I just saw that. Yeah. It's probably
mid-season transfers. I think the college trade thing would be very intriguing. Could you
imagine? That's about, Woody, that's about the only thing we don't have.
What if your quarterback goes down?
Well, you got three more
and
in your
roster.
And you
see, like, the guy at South Florida, like Byron Brown, is a good quarterback. So you go, all right, listen, we're going to give you our third-string quarterback and $1 million. We'll make the trade.
Yeah. Hey, Woody, I'm only laughing because I don't think it's going to happen, but who knows at this point. We are officially free agents at everybody's a free agent. Doesn't matter. Game two, off year. The only thing they're strict on is this age thing, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
A couple of guys, 19, tried to sneak in and get an extra year in there, and the schools got in trouble for that. But outside of that, outside of that age thing, hey, man.
Hey, man, they've been screwing with the age stuff for a long time. Remember in the Little League and stuff? Remember they had like 17-year-olds playing against the
10-year-olds? Yeah, it was a 14-year-old. That pitcher was really good. Whatever happened that kid?
I was in Danny Almonte or something, right?
Yes.
He was striking the whole thing.
Oh, my God. What a great story.
He's a no-hitter. He's 10 years old. No, he's 17.
No, he's not. He was 14. That's bad enough. You're 14. I mean, come on. I imagine my kid up there, he's like a 11-year-old in Little League baseball. He's got a year in Little League left, and he's facing a 14-year-old kid.
It's funny, though, because at that age, and I've noticed, because my son plays in those leagues, like 1 year is a big difference at that age. Like the difference between like second grade, third grade, fourth grade, like it's a pretty big difference.
I would say from 10, 11 to now 13, you start getting the girly thoughts a little bit and everything.
You took it to that. The puberty thing. I see where you went. We were talking about like more of a physical difference.
Well, that
in the
is part of
like,
it. That's part of
just
it.
Just bigger, stronger. Like
that's
a big
part
difference.
Of it. That
yeah.
is part of it, man. Got to start having talks with your kids. You have to start, when they're 10, 11, you don't have to have those talks. Then they get to that 14, you get to that kid's age, you got to start having.
You think it'd be okay
father,
if
son
I just sent Leon to your place? You can
that's
have
up
those
to
talks with him.
I'd be more than glad to, as long as you're fine with it.
I am fine with it, actually.
I just don't want you coming back all upset.
Better
going,
you than me.
I can't believe. You know what's crazy? My dad never had him with me.
I don't think I had those either.
Everybody always said you got to sit down. My parents were like, I think that's why they stayed so strict and never liked a girl in high school. Not that I had a lot of dates anyway. Mm-hmm. But like any girl that was around, they like kicked her out. I mean, she got blasted out. And I used to get so mad. I'm like, oh, little Betty Sue, man. She's so like,
well, those are
she's
different
out.
Times, but.
I've told you before, I'm not proud of this. Okay. So if people are going to laugh a little bit, you can laugh. Cause I know now guys start having sex when they're like 13 or 14. Mm-hmm. I was halfway through my first year at college before.
Yeah, you're a late bloomer. It's okay.
I was late.
Did they have sex ed when you were in high school, though?
No.
They didn't?
No.
I'm sure they still have that now, don't they?
My whole town basically was pretty
dry.
It was a big Catholic church right in the middle of Marysville.
Okay. I got you.
And I just...
Stuff was frowned upon. I got you.
No, it was just, you know, things were strict. My parents, you know, they were strict. But he never had that talk with me. We never had that little talk about, hey, did you wake up this morning, anything different? You know, and I go, no, Dad, you know, never had that talk.
You could start a business.
So I had to have that talk with the first tutor that took her clothes off in my dorm room. It was terrible. Yeah. Anyway, hey, we've got
that's not a bad business, by the way. You could be like a sex counselor for like, you know, younger.
I'm guessing right now, especially in this state, that's not a good idea.
No?
No, I'm not. And by the way, I'm not. proud. Or I sometimes people laugh and go, you're 18 and a half, 19 years old. never. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Dade County. I slept my girl starting in the eighth grade. Hell, I married her. Like, geez, man. Different world, Woody. I'm going to pass on that now that I think about it.
No, you won't have to talk with him. I don't know how to do that. It's very awkward.
I just see your wife going, really?
I think she'd be on board.
Why don't you ask her?
I will, Monday, come back
and go, hey, Joe's willing when Leon in a couple years to have that talk with him. All right. Hey, I want to talk about something really cool this weekend for you. Kliggies. Boy, Kliggies carts, man, they are fantastic. For if you live in a community or an area that golf carts are big and a big part of getting around in that area and having fun and love to put the family on them and cruise around in an evening before dark or even at dark and really enjoy yourself or go down and see the neighbors in your cart, you got to check out a Kliggies cart. Boy, features Royal EV golf carts, the coolest golf carts in America today. They're all electric, featuring 48 and 72 volt lithium battery options, designed and engineered to be a leader in quality and safety with aluminum frames. Safety, making sure the kids, when you're not around, you have to worry about an accident. And second of all, aluminum, you'll never have rust like you do in a lot of these after a year or two. Adjustable front seat in all six seat models, which is something no one else offers. Custom paint jobs, any color you want, any of your favorite team colors they can do. Sound bars, LED lighting. Man, they have everything you could ever want. Kliggies carts located next to Okeechobee Steakhouse and Okeechobee Boulevard in West Palm Beach. I don't care if you're in Dade, Broward, and you're starting to look around, you're getting ready to purchase one down someplace close to you. It's worth your drive anywhere in South Florida. You can hear me right now to go to Kliggies and see them and take them for a test drive. They got a bunch of them in the showroom. Kliggies right now is slashing prices, getting after it. Call 877-Kliggies or visit KliggiesCarts.com. That's KLIGGYS. Kliggies Carts, there is absolutely nothing like them. On Okeechobee Boulevard in West Palm Beach, right next to Okeechobee Steakhouse, and it's worth the drive. No matter where you are, you'll be blown away on just how special these golf carts are. Matter of fact, $1,000 off or 0% financing, and Kliggies will deliver free anywhere in South Florida. Once you make that purchase, you're going to love Kliggies.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.